Hello and welcome to the Guardian Film Show, providing a helpful antidote to World Cup fever. Inside the medicine chest, we have a dose of domestic drama, a syringe full of teen romance, and a jukebox musical about Frankie Valli, directed by Clint Eastwood. And if all that sounds just too good to be true, well, that may well prove to be the case. Coming up on this week's show, writer-director Alexandros Avranas rattles skeletons in the closet in the Greek tragedy Miss Violence. Plus, we spend some time with the Jersey Boys down on the street making all that noise. But let's begin with The Fault in Our Stars, a perfect Hollywood weepy starring Shailene Woodley and Ansel Elgort as teen lovers who meet at a cancer support group. It's a film to make you laugh and cry, a story for anyone who ever fell in love. Side effects may include headaches, nausea, sickness, and vomiting. If you experience any of these symptoms, please leave the cinema immediately.
This is the truth.
Hey, make some friends.
Sorry.
My bad. I'm Augustus Waters.
I've been in remission for about a year and a half.
Maybe you'd like to share some of your fears with the group.
My fears? Oblivion.
Hazel and Gus are young and in love and very nearly dead. Their time is short, the clock is ticking, but these star-crossed teens are about to defy medical advice, light out for Amsterdam, and make a perfect moment last a lifetime.
You know, Gus talks about you all the time.
We're just friends.
I hope you realize you're trying to keep your distance from me in no way lessens my affection for you.
Gus, I'm a grenade. One day I'm gonna blow up, and I'm gonna obliterate everything in my wake, and I don't want to hurt you.
Joining me in a support group of our own, it's Peter Bradshaw and Catherine Short. Catherine, you sat through the whole of this. Have you recovered yet?
I have. I recovered quite soon afterwards, actually. I'm afraid to say that you were meant to cry during this, and I remained shamefacedly dry throughout. And I think the thing that made me not cry was that there were so many tears in the film. And they sob and sob and sob, and Shailene Woodley particularly does, you know, her whole face is an absolute wet mess. And very good. I mean, she's terribly good at doing it and very affecting. However, not so much as to make you cry, because I think what makes you cry is when people can't cry and it's repressed. Everything is earnest and out in the open in this film, which is part of its charm. Mm. It's also part of, for me, its problem. Another problem for me was that Shailene Woodley is so passive. It's such a strange relationship. Probably quite accurate about a lot of teen relationships, but there's this incredible hunk who's very charismatic with lots of quips, and then just a girl who basically just simpers at them and waits for him to text, which I found a bit depressing, given that this is the sort of keynote teen romance of this generation.
Peter, what did you make of it?
Well, I've got to admit, this film did gouge a few cynical tears out of me. There are some people who can think about children dying of cancer without crying at all. I'm not one of them. But I found it very phony and very cynical.
What are you saying about Catherine?
Yeah. Well, I just laugh.
I mean, I found it kind of outrageously phony most of the time. I mean, the characters, in theory, it's quite badass to give them two very serious types of cancer, but in fact they do not suffer from any visible or obvious symptoms.
No, they look
cancer.
Great.
They look absolutely great. She has the oxygen mask on at all times, but it doesn't make her look anything other than absolutely A-list crisp. I mean, she really does.
She's going to start a craze.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's got one leg amputated, but we see a glimpse of that at the very beginning, and that's underneath his trouser leg. Absolutely not. They're both very well off. Then never in any way inconvenienced or discomforted by their cancer, really at any moment. I mean, it could just be a love story between two teens. Other than they have cancer, or Hollywood cancer, picturesque cancer, as a bolt-on accessory. And there is something very, very, frankly, cynical about it, in that it's targeted, frankly, at people for whom the idea of having cancer is almost as far-fetched as the idea of being a vampire, frankly. The people who really know about what it's like to have cancer or to care for someone with cancer will immediately see that this is an airbrushed Martha Stewart fantasy of cancer.
Which is everything that it's saying that it's
yes,
not. The,
exactly.
The voiceover at the beginning is like,
exactly.
This is the truth.
And the extraordinary insolence of that claim may be part of its effect, in a way. It may be part of the escapist effect Its sheer effrontery and audacity may be part of its effect, but I found it, some of it, absolutely intolerable. The scene where they visit Anne Frank's house.
And make out.
And make out in Anne Frank's bedroom. That is, I think, really, prison sentences are really what's required.
But it's all about love, you know, Anne Frank would have applauded that.
Yeah, maybe, maybe, I don't know.
But I think that's the thing. It's unbelievable the way it says it's cliche busting, and actually it isn't, because you've got this massive hunk comes into this girl's life. And it's like in something like, there's this new film, Obvious Child, which is about an abortion and a girl that we're all meant to identify with. And through having the abortion, she gets the best boyfriend ever. And he is, Ansel Elgort in this, is the best boyfriend ever. He's so hot. And I mean, it's just so cliched all the way through. William Dafoe plays this alcoholic.
Yeah, novice. What was he doing?
He doesn't stop drinking. I mean, you can be alcoholic and have one moment in which you're not swigging.
From a hip flask. And yet it struck a chord, hasn't it? It's been a huge hit in the States. I mean, you can see maybe why.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just distressing that, isn't it? But, I mean, the thing is that it's not wholly bad, you know. And I mean, it's all cynical, all this, and we're not liking all that. But the fact is, Ansel Elgort is like a Tom Cruise. He is really kind of charismatic and
he's like a young Mark Ruffalo, I thought.
Oh, I think he's less charming than that. I think Mark Ruffalo is
I think the main thing is Shailene Woodley is very good in it.
Yeah,
I mean,
she's
there's
so
no
good.
Doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. She sells it. I can't imagine anybody else doing it. She does it very well. She absolutely socks it over. And it's sort of her time, her moment has arrived with this film.
Come on, Hazel Grace, take a risk.
I don't... Really? That is disgusting.
What?
What, do you think that that's cool or something? You just ruined this whole thing.
The whole thing?
Yes, this whole thing.
Oh, man.
Even though you had freaking cancer, you're willing to give money to a corporation for the chance to acquire even more cancer? Let me just tell you that not being able to breathe sucks.
Hazel Grace, they don't actually hurt you unless you light them.
Hmm?
I never lit one. It's a metaphor, see? You put the thing that does the killing right between your teeth. But you never give it the power to kill you. A metaphor.
Miss Violence is a tale of an everyday Greek family rocked by tragedy and licking their wounds inside a crowded Athens flat. But this, it turns out, is a place of secrets and lies and mysterious closed doors. And by the end of the film, the doors will have opened.
My Mangage.
This is so weird.
Peter, having seen a few of these Greek films over the last few years, I'm wondering if there's a happy family in the whole country.
Yes, it's certainly a very distinctive and rather, possibly rather typical example of the new Greek wave. Stan, you remember one of our very rare disagreements, very rare, vanishingly rare disagreement.
Is this Alps?
The film Alps, yes. Now, at that time, I suggested that it was too much of a mannerism. And I hope, with as little ill grace as possible, I retreated from that position because I was wrong to disparage it. I was wrong. But I have to say, I was reminded of that unfortunate opinion. And I think there might be a touch of the mannerism in this film. It's very accomplished. And in some ways, it's brilliant. It's very derivative. It is... Clearly, it's by Michael Haneke, and particularly, I think, with regard to Haneke's first film, The Seventh Continent, which it really does resemble in many ways, although that's a comparison by which inevitably it suffers, because you can see Haneke would have, I don't know, he wouldn't necessarily have made the explanation non-existent. He wouldn't have withheld the explanation
from
us. Yeah,
but he'd have made it much more troubling and dark.
Troubling, indirect. Mm. He would have given us some of the pieces, but not all. He would have allowed us to put together an explanation of our own, which would arguably be of equivalent validity of any explanation which exists in his head. And there would have been more, I think, more style and more richness to it. Whereas this is a kind of brilliant angular surface, and it's a brilliant and angular provocation, this film. But when the explanation comes, it comes like a punch in the face. It's positioned about three quarters of the way through the film. It could have come anywhere in the film, really. There was no reason for him not to tell us straight away, or at the end, or halfway through, or not at all. But he positions it three quarters of the way through, so as we have a kind of narrative progression, and we get some kind of closure. It's a really interesting movie. It's not a bad movie, by any means.
It's very well made.
It's very well made, and it is, if you'd never seen anything like it before, you might think it was absolutely brilliant. Yeah. But we all have seen quite a lot like it before, and sort of stuff that's better, not just from Austria and Germany, but from Greece as well. I mean, in a way, Yorgos Lanthimos in Dogtooth was talking about all these things, was talking about abuse and dysfunction and the claustrophobic closed world of the family, but doing so with a lot more comedy and richness and subtlety, which was, I think, more dramatically satisfying than this.
In its way, Catherine, I thought that, I mean, Peter's talking about the kind of the big reveal, which felt to me just as cynical as The Fault in Their Stars, really.
Yeah, no, you feel like you've been messed with. You feel like it's a tease. And initially, I actually found the blankness just quite difficult to get past. You know, I actually didn't really care very much. And then you do, as Peter said, get this punch, which feels a bit, you just feel a bit manipulated, and you care slightly less than you did going in, which isn't, as they say, wasn't very much to begin with. Let me feel the moving like they do in Babylon. Show me slowly what I only know the limits of. Oh, dance me to the end of love. Miss Violence building by degrees towards the big reveal. And finally, it's left to none other than Clint Eastwood to send us out with a spring in our step and a song in our heart. He's riding into Frankie Valli and he's clicking his fingers as he goes. Clint Eastwood dims the lights and turns up the volume for Jersey Boys, filleted from the toe-tapping Broadway musical and charting the rise and fall of Frankie Valli and his chart-topping buddies. It's a film about the Four Seasons, but it only feels that long. Baby, love you. Who's gonna love your mama? Catherine, I know you're a big fan of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. You play them all the time at the Christmas party. How did this film live up to the memory? Well, I kept wondering, is he meant to sound like that? I mean, he sounds
like a castrato.
Like there's something genuinely wrong with him. And when he first started, there's loads of scenes in this film where people are sort of in the audience and they go, you know, with their cigars, this guy's really got something. You know, watch him, he might be big. And there's loads of scenes like that. But for me, it was just, my God, what a horrible noise. I mean, really ghastly. And every song seemed absolutely the same. That would be this horrible, castrated whine. And then there would be the deep-voiced one. And it was just awful. I hated the music. And I hated most of the film. And it was incredibly boring and slow. But it's quite hypnotically strange, the whole thing. It's so strange. It's sort of wonder.
It's a curious choice for Clint to be doing isn't it?
Well, you sort of think, is it a curious choice? I don't think it is, because, you know, he's an old guy. He'd like this kind of crap.
I think he likes old school. It likes sort of Flags of Our Fathers. He loves kind of authentic Americana from post-war. He loves that.
I thought you liked jazz, though, not kind
of doo-wop. That's true. I got to say, I found it very cheesy and very broad, with some moments which I think must have worked on stage, which don't really work that well on screen. It's very cheesy, but I did quite enjoy it, I've got to admit. I did quite like it. But there is one really weird moment in it, because I didn't know that the actor, Joe Pesci, really was acquainted with the band. And so when they're going into this outrageous Goodfellas speak, outrageous sort of Berlitz Italian-American speak with each other, and one of the characters starts behaving like Joe Pesci, and then somebody calls him Joe Pesci, and then somebody does one of these takes to the camera and goes, yeah, Joe Pesci, like the movie star. I'm thinking, wow, what a crazy bit of postmodernism for Clint Eastwood to do. Yeah, I know it looks like Goodfellas, Clint, but why are you saying that? And I realised, no, Joe Pesci really was a friend of the band.
I hate it. I thought that was absolutely, it's just the same kind of joke again and again and again. And like there's the gay guy, and he's like both gay, and somebody says, I thought there was something a bit funny about him. He's gay. Really?
Yeah, but this is like the early 60s.
I know, but it was written 7 years ago, and it's a film coming out in 2014. I mean, even my grandmother would have thought it was a bit, you know, a bit old school. I mean, really, but so it. And then I loved the aging makeup, like in J. Edgar, yeah. That terrible aging makeup. And here, it's just really erratic. So Frankie Valli doesn't age much. And the guy that looks like Chris Klein, it's like, Jesus, he looks about 400. Yeah. He looked really close to death. Really weird.
It's, what can I say? It is very broad. It is very broad. But I did find it quite watchable. I mean, it's kind of crass, and you're right, it is long. It is long, and it's weirdly edited because there's this kind of weird looping flashback that crunches back at the beginning. And then the mobsters get their own kind of sentimental... Why am I talking it down? I don't know. The mobsters get their sentimental moment in the song, in the musical, and someone tells them at the end in a slightly outrageous way. But it is very sentimental. I wonder how Scorsese would have done it, actually. He would have done it better than that.
But that's the thing, you get this amazing montage at the end where they all come on and have a little dance and Christopher Walken dances. But it highlights the fact, A, that they've just taken the play and made it, you know, a film a bit. But also, the whole dancing, it's crap. I mean, there's not even like a proper musical. They just kind of go like that a bit.
How do they get... Sorry, I'm not getting the full picture.
Like that. That's the main move.
Well, that was their move. That's accurate. That's historically accurate. What's the matter with that?
Hey, Miss Congeniality... It's a metaphor. It's an anthem for every guy who's ever been twisted around a girl's little finger. And if I'm explaining that to you, we're in trouble. Walk like a man. Take one.
That's the Jersey Boys singing for their supper and shuffling into mischief. I think we should leave it there. It doesn't get any better. My thanks to Peter Bradshaw and Catherine Short. We're back, hopefully, with a superior selection of films next week.